The Bible names names. God reveals the identities of important leaders, leaders of the past, present, and future. Learn about a specific biblical personality in power today and how God is using him to save America temporarily. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Anciently, Samaria was the capital of the 10 tribes of Israel, and they had broken away, those 10 tribes had broken away from Judah. Now, if you want to find the history of that, well, you can go to the book of Kings in the Old Testament, and that happens to be one of the former prophets, which means it is prophecy primarily for this end time. Now, the prophetic Israel today is America and the British peoples, Canada, Australia, New Zealand included. And you can prove that from our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. And I might just mention that all of our literature is free. Jesus Christ said, "Freely you have received, freely give." That's in Matthew 10 and verse 8. But there is a Jeroboam type in this end time, and God said he would use him to save Israel temporarily. Temporarily, just like it happened in ancient Israel. And it's there in the book of Kings, and I'll show you. And that segment is prophetic, as is all of that history in the book of Kings and those other former prophets. But it could be more than temporary. It could be permanent if the people would listen to this final message that God has for them, this final warning, because there are problems in Israel that must be solved, and God has certainly some warning for all of them. The great superpower of Israel, America, was really very close to collapsing when Mr. Trump came into power. Now, that may sound a little outrageous, but it is biblical and it is prophetic, and you can prove everything that I'm saying and prove it very precisely. Our constitutional republic was on the precipice of a total failure because, well, a lot of people in this country don't like that constitutional republic, and this is not political. I'm just telling you what the Bible says about what is happening in America and in Britain and also in the Jewish state in the Middle East. Let me read to you what it says in 2 Kings 14 and verse 23. In the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria and reigned 41 years. Now that's Jeroboam the second, but there's also quite a lot about Jeroboam the second in Amos 7, which is prophecy for today. So it is very prophetic, just like it was when it was given anciently. But it was, of course, it's also history now from that part of the world. Notice what it says in verse 26. For the Eternal saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel. There just wasn't any help for Israel. And that's talking about the transition from the last administration to the present administration. And that can be proved as well. Verse 27, and the Eternal said not that he would blot out the name of Israel from under heaven, but he saved them by the hand of Jeroboam, the son of Joash. He saved Israel through Jeroboam, a type of Jeroboam in the end time. And remember, Israel is really not the nation in the Middle East. They're one of the nations of Israel, but the prophetic Israel in this end time is America and the British peoples. That's important to remember, but notice God said here that it was a bitter time in Israel. There were many curses and there was nobody to help Israel. And so would you believe what you see today in the presidential administration is really the power of God saving Israel temporarily? Can you believe that? And I'll show you more about it in Amos 7, because the focus is really right there in a prophecy we've been giving you for years. And we also have a booklet of Amos that we'll offer you, which will help you understand that. But all of this is just temporary. God is never going to let anybody just blot out Israel. That's what he's saying here. They were chosen to be an example to the world, and God is angry because they're not being an example to the world. They're not being that example that God intended them to be. And he gave them those birthright blessings and made them both mighty powers in this end time. And both of them have failed God. And that's not an insignificant transgression. You could say, certainly, this is dual. You have the history of Israel, and then it is prophetic when God talks about saving Israel. He saved them anciently, temporarily, and he's going to save them in this end time, temporarily. So he can get one more message to them, one more warning. He's given numerous warnings before, but he wants to give one more to give them a chance to repent and turn to God and not be corrected as severely as they will be if they don't respond. Now that is reality in your Bible, and it seems strange to a lot of people who don't know their Bibles, but it's prophetic throughout the Bible. And we need to understand that. We had people say, we're getting our country back after Mr. Trump was elected as president. And again, this is not political at all. I'm not talking about politics here, but certainly you could say 90% of the media was against and is against President Trump. And that would include all the Democrats. I think just about everybody would admit that. And also all the intelligence agencies were very much against him, according to many people. A lot of things were going against him. But then, of course, he was able to make a Supreme Court nomination and get him approved. But there was a meeting. And again, many people believe this and think they can prove it. And on January 5th, just before Mr. Trump was inaugurated, there was a group of the top echelon of the last administration plotting how they could overthrow the presidency of Mr. Donald Trump. Now, there is a lot of evidence to support that, I think. But again, people have different views, and I'm not taking a political side here at all, but have you noticed how successful Mr. Trump has been in spite of almost unbelievable opposition? Is that just him doing that? And the answer is no, it isn't. God said he would save Israel through an end-time Jeroboam. He would do that temporarily. Now, why is it temporary? Well, there is a message that has to go out one more time. But can you imagine, let's just say Mr. Trump is used to solve the denuclearization of North Korea. They have weapons of mass destruction all over the place, and they just, a short time ago, gave 50 tons of chemical weapons to Syria. And now he's saying he will get rid of those nukes and he will get rid of those weapons of mass destruction. If that were to happen, well, would that be because of Mr. Trump? It certainly seems to be on its way, but we'll have to wait and see. But amazing things are happening. And if that happens, it will be because of God doing it through an end-time Jeroboam. So says your Bible. Now, again, you have to do some studying to understand that, but that is in your Bible in many places. One of the CNN reporters even had this to say after seeing what was going on in North Korea, and she said, well, if this happens, he'll be considered one of the greatest presidents of our time. One of the greatest presidents of our time. And here the leader of South Korea says he thinks that Mr. Trump should receive the Nobel Peace Prize. Amazing things happening in spite of all of the bitter division. What is going on, and why would God decide to intervene in this? You need to understand why. We all need to know that God lives, and He's telling us precisely what's happening, and is naming names. And that's not hard to prove, but it seems like just about everything that they've thrown at Mr. Trump, according to many people, has boomeranged on the Democrats. Is that because of Mr. Trump? And I tell you, no, it isn't. It's because of God, a temporary saving of the people of Israel, His chosen people, chosen to be an example to the world. And oh, how they have failed in doing that. So has Britain. Now, again, I'm just telling you how you can see there's an American surgence, and we need to see that. But God is doing it for a reason, because He's full of tender mercies and kindness, and He doesn't want to see people suffer, and He knows that America and Britain are going to suffer because they are heading into more and more problems and have many, many plagues in their society. And they can't solve them without God. Can't ever solve them. Notice what it says in Amos 7 and verse 7. My booklet on Great Again, we have a chapter on who is the modern day Jeroboam. Who is he? And we'll prove this, all of this to you. And again, that book of Amos is for this end time. But notice what verse 7 says of Amos 7. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Eternal stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. Here, a plumb line is used in measuring a building when you're building it. But here, God's talking about destruction coming upon Israel. Destruction being measured precisely by God to correct His people so they will get to know Him. That's what it's going to produce before it ends. That is the inside, or the end. Result of it. Now God wants repentance of our transgressions. Verse 8, notice, and the Eternal said unto me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, well, a plumb line. Then said the Eternal, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people. God just puts His work right in the midst of everything. And yet, how many people see it? It's there. We have to know it if this is going to mean anything to us. We have to study our Bibles. We have to know what our Bibles say, and people don't know their Bibles today. That's just across the board, everybody practically. God says, I'll place my work right in the midst of all this. My people Israel, I will not again pass by them anymore. In other words, God is saying, I've warned them for the last time. He's warned them numerous times, and He's been warning them for over 70 years. And they won't listen because, well, they don't know that much about the Bible, but God keeps having mercy, and He says, this is the last time I will warn you. This is the living God, the merciful God, the loving God that wants to see His people turn from their wicked ways. Why will you die, O Israel? Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. God doesn't want to see things go wrong in Israel, but He will punish if they do. Now, even if they don't repent, there's still good news, because all of this is leading into the second coming of Jesus Christ, and the problems will be solved. So the U.S. superpower is being led by a modern-day Jeroboam, according to Amos 7. And God names individuals. He puts a name to them. Vladimir Putin is the Prince of Russia. We have a booklet on that, and we'll prove it to you if you don't know it. God names many of the significant people right here in this end time to make people see if they will be willing that you can prove these things. And if they don't, well, he says it's going to be a witness against them. They're going to see when they finally are shown these things, even if they're killed, they're going to be resurrected and given a chance to see these things and prove them for themselves. And they're going to be amazed at how blind they were when everything was right there before their eyes. We have the end time, the last end, the last hour. Now you could say we have a Jeroboam end. The last message that is going to be given during that time period. Amos 7 verse 10, then Amaziah the priest of Bethel sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Here you have a priest of Bethel. That means the house of God. So there's God's own people have turned away. And you have one of them here, Amaziah, who is actually now working against the people of God. And you can find out who he is too if you'll write for our booklet on Daniel. It's an end time Antiochus spiritually. You can know who he is. And he's going to be, well, allied with Jeroboam. And he warned Jeroboam anciently, that is, Amos did, and there's going to be an Amos type that is going to warn Jeroboam again in this end time, the type of Jeroboam. Now, who is, again, you can know who these people are. Our booklet on Amos will prove that to you, and Daniel. And we'll send those booklets to you at the end of this program if you request them. And again, they will cost you absolutely nothing. But God names names. He wants to make this clear to us. Look, if he didn't name names, we wouldn't know what's going on here. We have to know what God is talking about. He names names of people that are significant. And we need to understand that. If you can go on and look at verses 16 and 17, Amaziah said, well, this is what Amos says. And Amos comes back and says, no, this is what God says. This is a thus saith the Lord. This is not the message of a man, a puny little man. This is the message of the great God who created all of us and our minds and the whole universe. This is thus saith the Lord. And God says we ought to tremble before these words. Don't you think that we should? I tell you, we should. Thus saith the Lord. That's what he says. And you can see in 1 Kings 11, verse 28, that Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor and industry, or industrious. He was a brilliant man in many ways, as the modern day type is. It has to be that way. But look, you're not going to find solutions in a puny, helpless little man. I don't care who it is. But you will find all kinds of help in the tender mercies of God, the loving God. God is love. And he wants to demonstrate that love. Notice verses 12 and 13. Also Amaziah said unto Amos, O you seer, go, flee you away into the land of Judah. And there eat bread and prophesy there, but prophesy not again any more at Bethel, for it is the king's chapel and it is the king's court. See, this is getting to be the king's chapel. This is a religious work. And then there's an Amaziah that was actually at one time a part of God's own people, and he's turned against the work of Amos today in a very vicious way. Again, all that's proved in the booklet of Daniel that we'll send you. But Jeroboam's great sin is about rejecting the house of David or the key of David. That's the name of our program, and that's his great sin, that is going to be rejecting that unless he changes his mind and turns to that house of David or that key of David or the very throne that Jesus Christ is going to sit on when he gets back to this earth, and it's going to be in a tiny few years, less than a decade by a considerable margin, I believe. And you can, I think, actually it's getting to the point where you can prove that. But other religions look to Jeroboam, but they're not going to, he's not going to solve their problems for them. But he certainly could make all of this permanent, all of the saving of Israel permanent, by leading Israel to that point, to the where God wants them to go, to repentance, if they would follow, but that's not very likely anyhow. Verse 12, flee you away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread. Well, get out of here. Go to Judah. Well, they must know their God has a work in Judah. Then verse 14, then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was an herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He didn't go to college to be taught the ministry or any kind of a seminary. Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he has taken nothing? Verse 6, shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be an evil in a city and the Lord has not done it? Sansino says, shall the horn be blown in a city and the people not tremble? This is the lion has roared. God has warned. God never goes back on his word. The living God has warned, and he says, now the city ought to tremble. They're going to have to be corrected very strongly and harshly if they don't heed God's final message. Verses 7 and 8, surely the eternal God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants of prophets. The lion has roared, who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? See, God says, I've revealed my word to my prophets throughout. He always warns Israel. He reveals his word and tells them exactly what's coming. Most of the time they don't listen. It's rare when they do. It is rare indeed, and they've never really repented like the Gentile city of Nineveh and the Assyrians at one time. They've never done that like was the case then. If you look at Amos 9 and verse 11, you can see that God says he's going to raise up a work and build it as in the days of old. But notice the ending, the wonderful end of all this. It's coming right on the heels of what I'm talking to you about. Amos 9 and verse 13, behold, the days come, says the Eternal, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that sows seed. And the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, says the Eternal, your God. Amos 9, verses 13 through 15. That is what is going to happen immediately after Jesus Christ returns to this earth. But remember, God says, okay, I'm going to have a plumb line, and I'm going to measure all this, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to, for the last time, I'm going to deliver a message to you. I'm going to deliver it to you one more time. He says that I will not pass again by them anymore. I won't anymore pass by them. This is final. This is it. Now, this is the message that the land cannot bear. They don't want to hear this message. None of us like to hear it, but it's a wonderful message if we'll heed what it says. But even if we don't heed before that tribulation, we're going to heed it during the tribulation. Because then it says in prophecy that God's people will get to know Him through that suffering. Get to know God the hard way. But why does it have to be so hard? Why are we so hard-headed that we won't listen to God and let Him save us all that destruction? Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friend.
The prophet Amos delivered a strong warning message to ancient Israel, but the king and his religious leader refused to listen. The same scenario is prophesied to unfold in the modern nations descended from ancient Israel, America, Britain, and the Jewish state primarily. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The Lion Has Roared, to understand the frightening punishment that awaits these nations. God compared the bloody fate of modern Israel to a sheep that has been attacked, and only two legs and a piece of an ear remain. This is the sobering message of Amos. Only God's tiny church delivers this warning in the end time. Prove where God's church is today. Unlock the identities of the end time political and religious leaders who will reject the warning from the book of Amos. Discover the only way to escape the unimaginable suffering just ahead. The prophet Daniel battled mightily to receive revelation from God. He recorded the struggle in his biblical account, but he never understood the message that God gave to him. He was told that the meaning of the revelation would come in the time of the end. Specifically, it would come in the last end, or the end of the end time. That time is now. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Daniel, Unsealed at Last, to prove that Satan's number one target is always God's church. Satan hates that God's loyal people are warning the nation of Israel. Still, they have a much greater power than Satan supporting them as they deliver the most important message in the world. You will also receive two free reprint articles that explain recent political events in America. Your Bible has the answers. It's up to you to find and believe those answers. All our literature is available free of charge, at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Lion Has Roared, Daniel Unsealed at Last, and these two reprint articles. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.